Shalom Aleichem. My name is Rabbi Adam Dubin. First, I want to wish everyone a good moed. I hope that your first days of Yom Tov were good, were meaningful, impactful, and in Hashem that the rest of Pesach will be as well. In a divergence from what I normally speak about, I'm not going to be speaking about really what we lane as far as the Kriyas HaTorah is concerned over Shabbos. That's for Shabbos Chol HaMoed, but rather something that occurs very rarely, which is when there is no Shabbos Chol HaMoed, not Shabbos Chol HaMoed, rather the last 2 days of Pesach, since there is no Shabbos Chol HaMoed, that I'm going to be speaking about Shir HaShirim. There's a custom that many Jews around the world have. It's certainly not a universal custom, but it's a very common custom to lay in Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, on Pesach. And the custom has evolved to be that we lay in Shir HaShirim on Shabbos Chol HaMoed. The question comes, what do you do when a year like this year, when there is no Shabbos Chol HaMoed, is you lay in it on Yom Tov itself. So the earliest source that I'm aware of, before going any further, I want to just mention once again that this week we're learning for the Refuah Shleima of Zev Ben Lehi, Dr. Zev Zelenko, that he and everyone else who needs a Refuah should have a Refuah Shleima. Once again, the earliest source that I'm aware of for the practice of laning Shir HaShirim on Pesach comes from Maseches Seifrim, which is in the 18th paragraph of Maseches Seifrim. And perhaps unexpectedly in Maseches Seifrim, mentions nothing about reading Shir HaShirim or any other Megillahs for that matter on their Yom Tovim, but there's nothing about it on Chol HaMoed. Rather, it records the practice of reading the Megillah over the course of the last two nights of Pesach in Chutz La'aretz. In fact, Masech HaSeferim also mentions this practice earlier in the same parak where it rules that one must recite the brachas of Al Mikra Megillah, even though it's written in Ksuvim, not in Chumash. There's another recorded custom regarding the proper time to lay in Shir HaShirim on Pesach, and that comes from the Chai Adam, where he records that some have the minhag to read Shir HaShirim at Leil HaSeder, explaining that this is the fulfillment of the chiyuv to relay the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, until one falls asleep on the Leil HaSeder. In fact, in many Haggadahs, Pesach I happen to be. I used a few different Haggadahs for the two different Sedarim. One of the Haggadahs that I used, which happened to be published by Art Scroll, it was the Rav Moshe Feinstein Ha'aretz on the Haggadah, ended up to say that, I mentioned once again the custom of laning Shir HaShirim, and it has not just the custom to say it, but it has all Shir HaShirim in the back of the Haggadah, as well as some other things that people tend to learn. Similarly, the Kitto Shulchan Aruch records the practice of reading Shir HaShirim on Leil HaSeder, and accordingly, I guess as many Haggadahs print the Megillah at the end of the Seder. The Ramah in the Or HaChaim, it's in 490, in English, records that the more familiar practice is to recite Shir HaShirim on Shabbos Chol HaMoed. And the Ramah writes that one should not say the bracha, which is unlike the ruling of the Maseches Seifrim and later ruling of the Vilna Gaon, the Gra. So while the Ramah does not explain the logic for underlying this minhag, a range of proposals have been offered. For a useful summary, you can end up to see there's a Sefer by Tzvi Ram, is called Reading Shir HaShirim, Rus, Eicha, and Kohelis. Not a safer, actually, it's an article in Chakira magazine. So, on a technical level, a number of early commentators, Mefarshim, Machzevitri, on Hilchos Pesach, Sefer Manhig, Devudraham, Nagan Avraham, and others, note that the Dode compares the Raya to a horse in Paro's fleet, which is in the first Perek of Shir Hashirim, which may be an allusion to the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim. In support of this interpretation, see Shir Hashirim Rabbah, which explains the pasuk that to a horse in Paro's fleet refers to the drowning of the chariot in the Yam Suf. The Machzor Vitri adds that the entirety of Shir Hashirim alludes to four different stages of Geula, which are themes throughout the Sefer, and in such time the Sefer is consonant with the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Others, like the Yotzer Dinim and Munhagim, note that just as Pesach is called a spring holiday, Shir Hashirim similarly invokes a change of seasons in connection with the evolving relationship between the Dod and the Rayim. From the second parak of Shir Hashirim, for now that the winter is past, the rains are over and gone, the blossoms have appeared in the land, time of pruning has come, the song of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The Zath Mikra offers an alternative explanation for the association between Shir Hashirim and Pesach, noting that of all the Yom Tovim, Pesach is most closely related with Shir, with songs, including those that we sing at the Seder, and Shir Sayam, the Song of the Sea, as Yashir. Singing Shir Hashirim is a natural extension, therefore, of Pesach's motif of Shira, of singing. The Vilna Gaon, in his commentary on Shir Hashirim, in the second parak, contends that the pasuk in which he is commenting, Hark to my beloved, there he comes, leaping over mountains, bounding over hills, alludes to Moshe Rabbeinu echoing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise to redeem us throughout history. This historical process that culminates in the coming of Mashiach Tukenu begins the Geula, begins with the Yetzias Mitzrayim. As I said before, perhaps the Netziv elaborates on the relationship between Shir Hashirim and on Pesach in a unique direction. It's therefore worth reviewing this connection here. In the introduction to his parish on Shir Hashirim, also see him at Kadaver, Bamidbar, and Dvarim, Netziv argues that Koheles and Shir Hashirim are to be seen as inversely related. Koheles, he contends, was originally delivered as an oratory on Sukkot before a large gathering of both the Jews and the non-Jews. Again, remember that on Sukkot, all the karbanos that were brought, even the Goyish nations and non-Jews, brought the karbanos as well. Accordingly, its message is a generic book of knowledge, of wisdom, and it was a universal in scope. And this is consistent with the theme of Sukkot, which is, as we mentioned back around Sukkot, is in many ways universal yontif. You have the different types of minim that are connected to different types of people, different types of Jews, again, and all coming together in the Sukkah. So it's very universal. By contrast, Shir Hashirim is taught on Pesach in front of a Jewish crowd. And this echoes the position of Rav Sadia Gaon, who asserts at the end of his introduction to Shir Hashirim that Shlomo HaMelech prophesied it on Pesach, that is, he wrote Shir Hashirim on Pesach. So reading Shir Hashirim according to the classic Midrashic interpretation, that it's an allegory for the love, the Ava, between the Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Bnei Yisrael, the Netziv contends it was appropriate for Shlomo HaMelech to teach Shir Hashirim to an exclusively Jewish audience on Pesach, a Yontif its themes are far more particularistic than those of Sukkot. You know, and it's all about the Bnei Yisrael and what we did leaving from Mitzrayim. This is the reason that we continue to read Koheles publicly on Sukkot and Shir Hashirim on Pesach. Picking up on this theory that Shir Hashirim was originally given by Shlomo HaMelech on Pesach in celebration of the building, the completion of Bayis Rishon, the first Beis HaMikdash, and it said, seeks to understand Shlomo HaMelech's precise intention in composing and reciting this song in public. He explains by pointing to an anomaly with regards to Pesach. Since the major event of the Yom Tov of Pesach is, of course, the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, which was celebrated on the 15th of Nisan, why does the Yontif continue for another 6 days? Apparently he doesn't believe that the Kriyas Yamsuf merited a holiday, a Yom Tov of its own right, perhaps because it was merely the completion of the event that the crux was already transpired on the 15th. The Tzitz answers that the six final days of Pesach are intended to inspire the Yidden in their loving connection and devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moreover, the final day is termed the Tzeres by the Torah to indicate that the day's goal is to retain the lessons and inspiration of the previous days and take them forward into the year to come. Shir HaShirim was delivered on a Tzeres by Shlomo HaMelech to inspire the Bnei Yisrael toward increased loving devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Further, Shlomo HaMelech recognized that with the completion of the Beis HaMikdash, many tzaddikim would now be subject to new stricture against offering karbanos on bamos, private altars. And this significantly increased the risk that such an inspired individual might struggle with their diminished opportunity to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu and be tempted to offer their karbanos privately. Accordingly, Shlomo HaMelech taught Shir HaShirim to exhort the nation to continue their dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to worshiping Hashem, the davening, all the tefillah, everything should be loving, particularly through the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash and through Limud HaTorah. In his commentary on the Machzor, former Chief Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Olav Shalom, offers his own typically eloquent interpretation, suggesting that Shir HaShirim's message is that the Yetzias Mitzrayim are the same. They both represent a love story in which faith is born of love, is tempered, trumped rather, through sheer rational calculation. So, to quote from former Chief Rabbi Sacks, Olav Shalom, the message of Hosea, Yechezkel, and Yirmiyah is that the Exodus was more than a theological drama about the defeat of false gods by the true one, or a political narrative about slavery and freedom. It is a love story, troubled and tense to be sure, yet an elopement by a bride and groom in the desert where they can be alone together, far out of the sight of prying eyes and distractions from civilization. That's the theme of the Song of Songs. Like God summoning his people out of Egypt, the lover of the song calls out his beloved, "Come, let us leave." And that's from the second parak. The beloved herself says, "Come, draw me after you, let us run," in the first parak. And then, in an image of extraordinary poignancy, we see the two of them emerging together from the wilderness. Who is this rising from the desert, leaning on her beloved? And that is from the eighth parak. Israel, leaning on God, emerging, flushed with love from the wilderness, that is the Exodus as seen by the great prophets. Nor were they the first to develop this idea. It appears fully fledged in the book of Deuteronomy, where the word love appears 23 times as a description of the relationship between God and the people. When we read the Song of Songs on Pesach as a commentary on the Exodus, it spells out Jeremiah's message. God chose Israel because Israel was willing to follow him into the desert, leaving Egypt in all of its glory behind, for the insecurity of freedmen, relying instead on the security of faith. I apologize to former Chief Rabbi Sacks. I am not as eloquent as he is in his speech and writing, but those were his words. Beyond these varied explanations, there's one final explanation, perhaps the most compelling, for the connection. A number of classical sources have a particularly powerful connection between Shir HaShirim and Yetzias Mitzrayim. For instance, the Oster Talmid Minhagim notes that Shir HaShirim Rabbah contains many passages that read Shir HaShirim as a commentary, as a parish on the Exodus, on the Yetzias Mitzrayim. This view has been extensively developed by a professor named Daniel Boyorin. In support of this view, just two examples to mention from Shir HaShirim Rabbah's reading of the Yetzia. Shir HaShirim in the second parak says, "My dove in the cleft of the rock, in the hiding place of the steep, show me your image, let me hear your voice, for your voice is lovely and your image is beautiful." Shir HaShirim Rabbah explains that Rabbi Eliezer maintains that this pasuk refers to the hour that Yisrael stood at the Yam Suf. Immediately before Kriyas Yam Suf, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reflected on his Ahava for the Bnei Yisrael. In another pasuk, the beloved calls to his lover to come out of hiding and show her face. This is in the second parak. This is seen in parallel to the Yitziyah in the pasuk in which the Bnei Yisrael are called upon to stand forth and see the salvation of Hashem. Accordingly, Shir Shirim is on the classic traditional view of the Rabbanim. It is not incidentally connected to Pesach. It is a pivotal commentary, parish on the Yitziyah, which underscores that Yitziyah Mitzrayim did not just comprise a series of stunning nisim, but it was an outgrowth of the intimate reciprocal relationship between the Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Bnei Yisrael. I think this is an important concept to keep in mind, that constantly we, in our daily lives, we see ourselves as though we're leaving from Mitzrayim. Whether it's not talking about the physical land of Egypt, as man has that, but the you call it metaphysical concept of Mitzrayim, that was the 49th level of Tumah, this horrible place that we as a nation got down to, we were brought down to. And we see in our world around us, which is all full of turmoil, I'm not going to mention anything specifically, but if you look, at least in the United States, you think about whether it's the pandemic and how it is affecting everyone, it's all topsy-turvy, the political environment, the concept of what they call cancel culture, everything all around, left, right, center. I'm not, again, not speaking in any specific term or terms, but it's that the world is in a very low place. And only by taking ourselves away from that, by looking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, looking to the Torah, Hashem, Tamima, the eternal Torah, and the continually viewing ourselves as though we are leaving Mitzrayim each and every day at all, that I think is an important way to help us to survive this tumultuous time that we are living in. Also, speaking about the pandemic, I know that there are many shuls that are still not quite back to normal, even as far as having truncated davening. So while I mentioned that Shir HaShirim in a typical year, of course, would be on the Shabbos Chol HaMoed, there is no Shabbos Chol HaMoed, it would be on the Shabbos of Yontif. But I am aware that there are shuls that are, again, still truncating the davening and probably leaving Shir HaShirim out. It's not Ma'akev, there's no Chiv. Once again, it's a custom that people have. There is a connection, obviously, as I mentioned, to learn it, to say it in shul, say it publicly, but of course, in the spirit, if you will, of wanting to make sure that everyone has a happy and healthy Yontif. If you're able to go to shul and your shul does not lane Shir HaShirim, don't think it's because it's not important, but either because it's not the minhag, the custom of the shul in general, or because of pandemic restrictions, there are still many shuls around that are truncating their davening. I wish everyone they should have a completion to their yontif, should be once again happy and healthy, chag kasher v'sameach, a good moed, and I wish everyone as well a good Shabbos. Thank you, Benjamin.